Members, please vote to signify their preference. All those kind of mornings. All members voted?
Secretary, please close the roll.
The roll shows 20 senators present this morning.
May we stand in prayer? Lay Rabbi Danny Plotkin.
Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hear our prayer and bless us. Be with all men and women who devote themselves for the good of mankind and bear the burdens of others, clothing the naked, feeding and housing the elderly and poor, and burying the dead. In prosperity, may we remember that it is only through you, Almighty God, who gives us the strength to acquire substance. May we forever, with common sense, use thy merciful gifts justly and wisely. Amen.
Senator Kelly.
President, in honor of the eloquence of Rabbi Plotnick, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that prayer be spread on the journal.
Objection, so ordered. I do think he should register as a lobbyist, though. The secretary, or please certify as the correctness of the Daily Journal.
I wish to certify as the correctness of the Journal for the 150th legislative day and Senate Supplement Number 55.
Majority Leader.
Journal for the 150th day and Senate Supplement Number 55 be approved as certified.
Without objection, so ordered. Are there guests for introduction? I'd like to introduce a friend of mine, and I think all of you know her very well, a longtime leader in old-timer programs, Rose Palmquist, sitting next to Dove Call. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. President, the gallery behind me is a gentleman who served as the legislative aide to me last year and just finished his first year of law school, Mr. Daniel Tierney.
It's good to see you. Are the messages from the governor?
There are no messages from the governor today, Mr. President.
The messages from the House?
Message of June 10, the House passed the following. Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 45, Resources, Construction of the Crater Lake Stage of the Snohomish Hydroelectric Project. Senate Joint Resolution Number 48, Implementation of the Surface Mining and Reclamation Control Act by the Secretary of the Interior. CS for Senate Bill 43, Labor and Commerce, Amended, Insurance. SB 137, approving issuance of revenue bonds by the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank Authority effective date. These bills have and resolutions have been sent to enrolling. Message of June 10, the House failed to recede from its amendment to SB 524, investment tax credit allowed against the state corporate income tax, namely House CS for SB 524, finance amended House taxes. The Speaker appointed the following members to a free conference committee to meet with the like committee from the Senate to consider the bills. Representative Gardner, Chairman, Representative Vasca, Representative O'Connell. Appointed June 10, the Senate were Senator Ray, Chairman, Senator Dankworth, and Senator Bennett. Message of May 20, the House has failed to concur in the Senate amendment to CS for House Bill 358 Finance, making supplemental appropriations to the Department of Health and Social Services and the Department of Labor, and amending the 1980-81 General Appropriations Act, Chapter 120, Session Laws 1980, namely Senate Committee Substitute for CS for House Bill 358 Finance, making supplemental appropriations to the Department of Health and Social Services and the Department of Labor, amending the 1980-81 General Appropriations Act, making a supplemental appropriation to the municipality of Anchorage for transportation of the elderly and handicapped, extending lapse dates on appropriation allocations for Senate research, and respectfully request the Senate to recede from its amendment.
Mr. President,
may we stand at
ease? Further deeds is called for. Majority Leader.
Mr. President, I move the Senate recede from its amendments to House Bill 358 and request the Senate to vote no.
The question is, shall the Senate recede from its amendments to House Bill 358 and may proceed to vote? Does any member wish to change their vote? Senator Stimson wish to change his vote. Any other member wish to change his vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 1 yea, 18 nays, 1 excused.
So the appropriate message will be sent to the House, and the Senate will appoint a free conference committee. The powers of free conference will be Senator Kelly, Senator Ferguson, and Senator Sturgiluski.
A message of June 9 on the same bill. The Speaker has appointed the following members to a free conference committee: Representative Malone, Chairman, Representative Meekins, Representative Byrne. Message of June 4. The House has passed CS to Senate Bill 120 Hess, amending the undergraduate scholarship loan program effective date with the following amendment: House CS to CS to Senate Bill 120 Finance, effective date failed. Undergraduate and graduate scholarship loans and transmitted for consideration.
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I would move that the Senate concur with the House amendments to Senate Bill 120 and request the Senate to vote no.
Question is, shall the Senate concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill 120? You may proceed to vote. Any member failed to vote? Secretary will close the roll.
The roll shows 19 nays, 1 excused.
The Senate will send the House the appropriate message asking them to recede. In case they do not, the Senate Free Conference Committee with powers of free conference shall be Senator Sturgiluski, Chairman, Senator Stimson, Senator Parr. Are there further items from the House?
There are no other messages from the House today.
Are there communications?
We have no communications.
The reports of standing committees?
The State Affairs Committee considered the Governor's appointments to the State Board of Registration for Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors and reported it back as follows: for Gordon Unwin of Anchorage, Senator Fisher, Chairman, and Senators Coletta, Bradley, Eliason, and Stimson signed no objection. From the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee on the Governor's appointees of E. Bud Simpson of Juneau to the State Physical Therapy Board has no objection to this appointment. This does not indicate an intent on the part of any member to vote for or against confirmation of Mr. Simpson. Signed, Senator Parr, Chairman, concurring Senators Stimson, Fisher, Coletta, and Kelly. The Finance Committee considered Senate Joint Resolution Number 4, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to limitations on appropriations of state money, and recommends that it be replaced with a committee substitute and do pass. Signed, Senator Dankford, co-chairman, concurring Senators Sturgiluski, Eliason, Ferguson, and Bennett. SJR 4 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The State Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill Number 400, Public Employees Retirement System, and recommends it do pass with an amendment with a new title. Senator Fisher, Chairman, and Senators Bradley and Eliason signed do pass. Senator Coletta signed. Do pass as SB 400 as amended is a very complex measure and must be reviewed. State Affairs looked at it for less than 1 hour. SB 400 has a further referral to Finance. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered Senate Bill Number 551, Special Appropriation for Payment of Outstanding Debts of South Central Regional Resource Center, and recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute, and a majority do pass. Signed, Senator Parr, Chairman, concurring Senator Fisher and Stimson. Senator Coletta signed. Abstained. This bill affects payment to my company for a debt owed by SRRC. SB 551 has a further referral to finance. The Judiciary Committee considered CS for House Joint Resolution Number 32, Judiciary Amended, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to membership of commission and judicial qualifications, and recommends due pass with amendment. Signed, Senator Rohde, Chairman, concurring Senator Parr and Senator Ray. HJR 32 has no further referral.
On an abstention, I am presuming that the rules of the Senate apply to the committees. That's the case. Presuming with unanimous concurrence, a person has the privilege of avoiding. Just want to mention that because of the signature of that report. Rules Chairman might want to check that out. We'll be at ease. The Senate will please come back to order, Senator Rohde. Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that my name be deleted from the committee report as it pertains to Senate Bill 551. Mr. President, a note of explanation. It's my intention, if and when that bill gets to the floor for action by the body as a whole, I'm going to request the privilege that I be allowed to abstain from that vote. I'm the principal owner of my company, and we are one of the creditors that would be affected with the passage of this measure.
There being no objection, it's so ordered. Potential for a conflict of interest is an extremely peculiar one, in my opinion. It gets right down to whether we should put in the rules whether you can borrow money for a house or what. You know, right now, there's no rules on any of these subjects. May we proceed?
The Rules Committee considered the following recommend they be placed on the June 11 calendar. Signed, Senator Kelly, Chairman, concurring Senators Bankford, Ziegler, and Ferguson. Senate Bill Number 48, Grants for Northern Technology. CS for House Bill 350, Resources, Mineral Leasing. These do appear on today's calendar. The Rules Committee considered CS for Sponsor Substitute for House Bill Number 17, Test, effective date amended, establishing an older Alaskan commission, and recommends it be replaced with the Senate Committee Substitute. And reports it back as follows. Senator Kelly, Chairman, and Senators Dankert, Ziegler, and Ferguson signed the calendar. Senator Ziegler also signed. Rules or Hess bills are preferable. This does appear on today's calendar. Those are the standing committee reports today.
Do we have reports of special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
Do we have resolutions for introduction?
Senate Resolution Number 15 by the Transportation Committee, relating to litigation involving the challenge to the constitutionality of AS 4321, the Oil and Gas Corporate Income Tax, and directing the Legislative Council to seek status as amicus in the litigation. In the litigation.
Judiciary and Finance may wish to look at it.
That is the only resolution today.
Are there bills for first reading reference?
Senate Bill Number 594 by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to administrative procedure and providing for an effective date.
Transportation, Judiciary, Finance may wish to look at this bill.
That is the only new bill today.
Senator?
Mr. President, may we revert to introduction guest?
Without objection, we've reverted to introduction guest.
I noticed in the gallery on the other side, a friend of mine for a long time, Doris Southall, who's worked very hard for the citizens of Fairbanks and the interior and all over the state. I'd like to welcome her here today.
The first item on the daily calendar is Senate Bill 48.
Senate Bill Number 48 by the Rules Committee, by request of the Governor, an act relating to grants for Northern Technology. Finance Committee considered this bill and recommends that it be passed with amendments. Signed, Senator Bennett, co-chairman, and Senator Ferguson signed no recommendation. Signing due pass were Senator Sackett, Stinson, Stojalewski, Eliason, and Dankert. Amendment Number 1 by the Finance Committee on page 1, line 20. Delete entire section 2.
Finance Committee Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Finance Committee amendment. Ask unanimous consent.
Without objection, Finance Committee amendment has been adopted. Are there further amendments?
There is an amendment number 2 by Senator Ziegler, Gilman, and Mulcahy, and Ferencamp. On page 1, line 16, delete the word his, insert the.
Without objection, Senator.
We move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the interim amendment.
Without objection, the amendment is adopted. Are there further amendments?
There are no other amendments.
The absence of further amendments, Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 48 be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and place for final passage.
Without objection, it's so ordered. Will the Secretary read the bill?
Senate Bill number 48 amended, an act relating to grants for Northern Technology.
Senator Elias.
Mr. President, Senate Bill number 48 was introduced by the governor, which in effect allows the committee to increase their grants from $5,000 to $7,500, and the other change was to expand their ability to go into other areas. The amendment by this Finance Committee deleted that provision, so in essence we have before us a bill which increases the ability of the commission to allow grants from $5,000 to $7,500. It does not increase the amount of money available for the grants. They anticipate $294,000 this coming year for grants. Merely, it reduces the number of people who will be able to get grants, but also allows those who are to have grants to receive a little bit more.
You ready for the question? The question is, shall Senate Bill 48 as amended pass the Senate? You may proceed to vote. Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary will close the roll.
The roll shows 16 yeas, 4 nays.
Senate Bill 48 is amended, has passed the Senate. The next item on the daily calendar is House Bill 350.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 350, Resources, by the Resources Committee, an act relating to mineral leasing and providing for an effective date. The Resources Committee considered this bill and recommends that it be replaced with a Senate Committee substitute and be passed. Signed, Senator Ferencamp, Chairman, concurring Senator Fisher, Sturgeonski, Gilman, Eliason, Mulcahy, and Bradley. There is a committee substitute.
Committee substitute, Senator Ferencamp.
Mr. President, I move the Senate Committee substitute. Ask unanimous consent.
Without objection, the committee substitute has been adopted. Secretary, read the committee substitute.
Senate Committee Substitute for CS for House Bill number 350, Resources, by the Resources Committee, an act relating to mineral leasing and providing for an effective date. There is an amendment number 1 by Senator Ziegler, Ferencamp, Gilman, and Mulcahy. On page 2, line 17, delete the word his, insert the locators.
Senator Ziegler.
Move the adoption of the amendment, Mr. President, asking unanimous consent.
Without objection, the amendment is adopted. Are there further amendments?
There are no other amendments.
In the absence of further amendments, Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 350 be advanced to third reading and placed for final passage.
Without objection, so ordered. Secretary, read the bill.
Senate Committee Substitute for CS for House Bill number 350, Resources, amended Senate, an act relating to mineral leasing and providing for an effective date.
House Bill 350 is before you for discussion debate. Chairman Ferencamp.
Mr. President, this bill deals with mineral claims that are already established and does not deal with new claims at all. It protects the present locations in case 6I becomes reality. Without this bill, the miners would be out of business for approximately 90 days if 6I becomes a reality. I ask for support for the bill.
You ready for the question? Question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 350 amended pass the Senate? You may proceed to vote. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will close the roll.
The roll shows 20 yeas.
Senator Rohde. effective date clause.
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent to vote on the bill to consider the vote on the effective date clause.
Effective date clause has been adopted. The next item on the daily calendar, Senator Otis.
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 356 be held off again for one additional day.
Without objection, it's held. The next item is Senate Bill 572. Mr. Finance Chairman.
Mr. President, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent this bill be held one more day.
Without objection. Next item is House Bill 17.
Committee substitute, for sponsor substitute, for House Bill number 17, has effective date amended by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee. An act establishing an older Alaskans commission and providing for an effective date. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered this bill and recommends that it be replaced with an SCS HESS with a new fiscal note and due pass. Signed, Senator Parr, Chairman, concurring Senators Stimson, Fisher, Coletta, Kelly. The Finance Committee considered this bill and recommends that it be replaced with an SCS Finance with a new title and due pass. Signed, Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senators Sackett, Stimson, Eliason, Ferguson, Dankworth, and Sturgiewski. The Rules Committee considered this bill and recommends that it be replaced with an SCS Rules and reports it as follows. Senator Kelly, chairman, and Senators Dankworth, Ziegler, and Ferguson signed the calendar. Senator Ziegler also signed Rules or HESS bills are preferable. There are three committee substitutes.
Senator Ferguson.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we adopt the Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for House Bill Number 17, Finance.
Objection is noted.
Mr. President.
Senator Ziegler.
I object for technical reasons. I have a real problem, and if the chair, it's a parliamentary inquiry, too. And if you'll grant me the leeway, I'll try to explain my position.
Please do, Senator.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. As things now stand, I think the preferable bill before us is the HESS committee bill, and I know the number of people in this body feel as I do. However, the finance committee bill, which if adopted, would be amended or sought to be amended by Senator Rohde on the basis of the amendments which is before us. And with these amendments, the finance committee bill is just as good, if not better, than the other versions. So my point is this, if I withdraw my objection and we adopt the Finance Committee substitute but fail to adopt the Rohde amendment, I assume that a motion to rescind our action in having adopted the Finance Committee substitute would be in order.
It would be.
Okay, Brian. That was my point. Thank you.
Rules Chairman.
Mr. President, there's a further complication. The Rules Committee substitute is, in effect, the Finance Committee substitute with some technical changes that were asked for by the reviser of statutes, and it simply defines and substitutes the word commission for the Office on Aging throughout. There's a difficulty in they're trying to change the Office on Aging to the Commission on Older Alaskans, and they're trying to do that with just a word change. It can't be done. It doesn't affect the thrust of the matter, but rather it's just a technical change to allow the intent of the finance version. So what I suspect the motion should probably be is to adopt the Rules Committee substitute, which in effect is the Finance Committee substitute, and go from there.
Maybe we can get it easier.
Senator Ferguson, come here with Senator Kelly. The Senate, please come to order. Senator Ferguson. Without objection. Withdrawn. Senator Kelly.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent to the adoption of the Rules Committee substitute.
Objection is noted. Senator Parr.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, we have a basic difference in two approaches here. The approach which was taken unanimously by the Senate Hess Committee was that the Council would not administer programs.
approach taken by the Finance Committee, and which is reflected with the technical changes made by the Rules Committee, is that the OLS would administer the program. That's the basic decision. I think that I would have no difficulty with the Commission administering programs if it's been in existence for a year or so, and they've got an opportunity for it to get the feet on the ground, to learn what it's going to do, and then perhaps to take those programs over. The legislature can come back next year and make that change. I do think it's unwise to create this commission and at the same time it's created, have it start administering programs. I don't think that's wise. I understand that the majority leader has a proposed amendment which will perhaps mitigate some of my concerns. But I know that there is a basic policy decision to be made here for this body, and the adoption of the amendment of the committee substitute is where the decision needs to be made.
Mr. President, I appreciate the concerns of my distinguished colleague Fairbanks. I do have an amendment on the table. Senator Ziegler and I have discussed that amendment. I do believe it's a fair compromise between language which would allow the commission to absolutely administer dollars intended for senior citizen programs and having no power whatsoever. The amendment allows the commission to administer those monies with the concurrence of the commissioner of administration. I think that's a fair balance. And Lord knows Senator Ziegler and I have had some differences over this bill, and I think the fact that both of us agree that this is a responsible and reasonable approach indicates that it is an acceptable method of dealing with this problem. I would therefore urge the Senate to adopt the Rules Committee substitute and hopefully adopt the amendment I will propose after that.
Ready for further debate? Is there further debate?
Mr. President.
Mr. Rules, Chairman.
Mr. President, I was a member of the Hess Committee that adopted the approach of Senator Parr's, and I'm going to, notwithstanding the fact that the Rules Committee substitute is before us, vote against it and support the Hess Committee version.
Is there further question? You have the floor, Senator Parr.
Mr. President, if you look at the effective dates on the bill, you notice the portion about administering the program goes into effect July 1st, 1981. That's roughly, 2 weeks from now. And so we have the question as to whether or not the amendment proposed, which will be proposed by the majority leader, will take care of that. Now, with the approval of commission administration, if I'm understanding the proposal in this amendment, it is going to mean that the commissioner of administration is really going to be in charge. The commission is going to recommend, and the commissioner of administration is going to have a veto power, if I understand this correctly. Now, if that is correct, then I'd like to ask the question, what are we gaining by doing this? Instead of having it, making an advisory commission, as we did initially in the House Committee, and letting the programs be operated as presently are. Both commissioners, administration and Health and Social Services, favored the approach the Hess Committee took. I noticed that the letter from the commission administration still, although he doesn't say so in so many words, still seems to prefer that approach, and what recommends is giving the, in order to obviate the worst possible consequences in his view, more or less, so he doesn't say it in these words, is to let the commission administration have his veto power. So I wonder what really accomplishing by going to the Rules Committee substitute and then using this amendment.
Senator Fisher and then Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I believe very strongly in people affected by state programs having a maximum say in the operation of those programs. I believe that can be achieved under the Hess Committee substitute just as effectively, if not more so, than it would be under either one of the other two substitutes. The key to the whole thing in terms of understanding what's going on is that both commissioners, as Senator Parr pointed out, the administration and Health and Social Services recommended that the Hess Committee approach be followed.
If it were not, if the commission is given administrative powers, with or without concurrence by the Commission of Administration, the interesting thing is that the personnel who are actually carrying out the functions under these programs would still be in the Department of Health and Social Services. It simply doesn't make any sense. It's a cosmetic kind of a change. I think it accomplishes nothing but sort of an apparent sort of political gesture. But in fact, the most important thing that we need today is a commission that will look at all the senior citizen needs, the senior citizen problems, the way various programs are organized and administered throughout the departments of state government, and then make sure that those are properly administered. It's not to have jurisdiction over one particular small, relatively small pot of money compared to everything else that is done for senior citizens. And therefore, Mr. President, I also will vote against this motion and favor the Hess Committee substitute.
Senator Rody.
Mr. President, with regard to the comments that have been made, first, a major portion of this bill does not take effect until January 1st of 1982, and it was the intent in working with the drafters that the actual implementation of the administration would take place in January. Also, I prefer to view the proposed amendment as a sharing of power between senior citizens and between the Department of Administration. Perhaps it's less than either would like. Quite frankly, I would tend to vote on behalf of senior citizens. I'm quite sure that the people that are administering the program now in the Department of Health and Social Services would like to keep that program within the Department of Social Services and have very little, if any, control by senior citizens. I cannot accept that as a desirable policy for the state of Alaska.
Are you ready for the question?
Question.
The question is, shall the Rules Committee substitute be adopted? The question has been called for. You may proceed to vote. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will close the roll.
The roll shows 13 yeas, 7 nays.
Rules Committee substitute has been adopted. Are there amendments to the Rules Committee substitute?
There is an amendment number 1 by Senator Ziegler, Farenkamp, Gilman, and Mulcahy. On page 3, lines 1, 3, and 5, delete his, insert the commissioners. On page 4, line 5 and 13, delete chairman, insert chairperson.
Senator Ziegler.
Move the adoption of the amendment, Mr. President, asking unanimous consent.
Without objection, neutering amendment has been adopted.
There's an amendment number 2 by Senator Rody. Page 3, line 21, add, and shall serve at the pleasure of the governor. On page 5, line 10, after the word administer, add, with the approval of the Commissioner of Administration. And on page 5, line 12, add after administer, with the approval of the Commissioner of Administration.
Senator Rody.
Mr. President, I would move amendment number 2. Mr. President, I think the amendment is self-explanatory, and we have discussed it. I would ask unanimous consent to adopt the amendment.
Objections noted. Senator Sturgeon, will be on the floor.
Mr. President, I'm wondering how self-explanatory the two areas are. Page 5, line 2, administer with the approval of the Commissioner of Administration. It seems to me that can be read two ways. One, that recommendations of the Commission would have to be approved by the Commissioner. The other could be an absolute veto power as to the Commission administering it all. In other words, administer with the approval. What if he says, no, I don't approve of your administering? So, you know, I just don't think that the wording is that clear.
What is the intent for the record?
Mr. President, the intent, and it was worked out with the Department of Administration and with the advice of Alaska senior citizens, would allow the commissioner, perhaps ultimately, to have a veto power. over administrative acts, certainly not recommendations that the commission might make on behalf of Alaska's senior citizens, but over administrative matters. And we do have definitions of what is administrative in the statute and court decision, for that matter.
Mr. President, I have in my hand a letter from the Commission of Administration, the last sentence of page 1. And to have the Commission of Administration be the final authority regarding receipt and expenditure of funds. I presume that since this has been worked out with the Commission of Administration, this amendment, that's the intent, that the Commission of Administration is the final authority regarding receipt and expenditure of funds. The intent is not the same in the amendment, and perhaps we should have it clarified.
Senator Bluski, what are you seeking for?
Mr. President, through the chair, I guess just clarification on the point then from Senator Rohde as to whether or not they see that as the ability to have a veto power over there actually administering anything, or just on specific things that they could veto. It's just clarification. I think that it's pretty open.
I think Senator Parr fairly stated the question because the amendment does in effect give the Commissioner of Administration a veto power over the expenditure or administration of monies by the Commission.
This debate has been recorded. It's a matter of policy and question. Is there still further objection to the unanimous consent motion?
Withdraw my objection.
Objection has been withdrawn. Amendment has been adopted. Are there further amendments?
There is an amendment number 3 by Senator Ray. On page 3, line 28, you each shall insert name.
Senator Ray?
I would move the amendment, Mr. President.
You have the floor, Senator Ray.
Obviously, the way it's written here, it's mandatory that the majority of people who are on that commission who might want a member who has missed 3 commission meetings for some specific reason, a good and proper reason, they might want him to remain on the commission, and yet this forces them to petition the governor to take him off. I would think the people, if they're going to have the responsibilities that's in the bill or provided previously in the bill, they should have a responsibility to be able to tell who that they would want off of the committee if we're missing consecutive meetings, and then not make it a mandatory thing. So I'd ask you.
Objections noted.
For just an explanation, that language was drafted by senior citizens at the time the Joint Legislative Committee conducted hearings on senior citizen affairs. I don't think it's an essential part of the bill, but it was drafted by senior citizens. Senator Ray wishes to change that. I will withdraw my objection.
Senator Ray.
Mr. President, we all know who drafts the bills, and with some drafter over in the Legislative Affairs that drafted the bills, and possibly just took it out of some existing language from some other bill, and I don't know if it was even brought up or thought about by the committee or by the senior citizens, but I would guarantee that after the explanation that they should be the ones and that they would require and ask that they be the ones to tell whether they want to kick somebody off or not have it a mandatory provision of the law.
Objection. Did you ask unanimous consent for your motion? Is there further objection? Amendment is adopted. Are there further amendments?
There are no other amendments.
In the absence of further amendments, Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 17 be advanced to third reading and placed for final passage.
Without objection, that's so ordered. Will the Secretary read the bill on third reading?
Senate Committee Substitute for CS for Sponsor Substitute for House Bill Number 17 Rules Amended Senate. An act relating to older Alaskans, establishing an older Alaskans commission, amending the law providing service programs for older Alaskans, and providing for effective date.
Bill is before you for discussion debate, Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, a brief explanation. This bill is the number one priority of Alaskan senior citizens. It sets up a commission which now with the Department of Administration will administer senior citizen programs.
This is a very important step because Alaska's senior citizens are concerned about having control over their own programs, and I think rightly so. This approach has been used in a number of other states and has worked very successfully. Senator Parr has talked about decentralization of state government, and this is one bill that will help decentralize the administration of state programs, and I hope and I think provide a better service to Alaska senior citizens.
Go ahead.
Mr. Parr.
Mr. President, since my name has been used, I see no relationship between this and what I have asked for in terms of decentralization. Decentralization means getting the powers of government closer to home. You don't always have to come to the state capital to get anything approved. My presumption is that the powers residing here are still going to be right in the state capital. The second point that you made, Mr. President, before voting this bill is the implication from the previous speaker was this is a number one priority of senior citizens. That may be true for a lot of them. They are not unanimous on this subject. I can guarantee you that I have had a lot of senior citizens who do not want this step taken. So I wouldn't want anybody to have the impression that senior citizens all over the state are unanimous in favoring this approach.
Mr. President. Senator Ziegler, you have the floor.
Once again, you and I and Senator Ray have been with this program since its inception, and I know that the three of us have a common fear, and that is that notwithstanding what this bill says in its current form concerning the Pioneer's longevity bonus and the Pioneer's home, that is this commission that we just created or about to create, is not to tamper with those two programs. And I want to serve notice to my friends in the gallery on the far side that if this commission ever endeavors to wrest away control of those two other programs, why, if I'm still here, they'll have me to contend with.
Senator Ziegler, you've echoed the concerns of many of us who've been in this program for 20 years or more. For the debate, ready for the question?
Question.
The question is, shall House Bill 17, as amended, pass the Senate? You may proceed to vote. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The Secretary will close the roll.
The roll shows 19 yeas, one nay.
So House Bill 17 has passed the Senate. There is an effective date clause. Senator
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that the vote on the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause. Mr. President, would you prefer that, in the middle of a motion, would you prefer that we have two motions?
I do, sir.
Mr. President, I withdraw that motion.
Okay.
I move and ask unanimous consent that section the vote on the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause of section 16.
An objection.
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that the vote on the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause of section 17.
Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. We already back to order. We are to the citation calendar. Senator Lyson.
Mr. President, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that Senator Catula and myself be added to the sponsor of honoring Joan Bugby Jackson.
Without objection. Secretary, read the citation calendar.
Citation honoring Joanne Bugby Jackson by Senators Rohde, Sturgeonski, Eliason, and Catula. Honoring Martha Cookson by Senators Ferguson, Sackett, Fisher, Gilman, and Stimson, and Representative Adams. Honoring Arvin Steves by Representative Rusendorf and Senator Eliason.
Senator.
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that the citation calendar be adopted.
Without objection, the citation calendar has been adopted. This takes us to unfinished business. Senator Ray.
How are you?
Senator Holman, will be at ease. Back to order, and Senator Holman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to move to be excused from the call of the Senate on tomorrow, the 12th, and Monday, the 15th. I'd ask unanimous consent. My intention is to return to Bethel and to meet with constituents over the weekend. I intend to be back prior to...
You asked for a Saturday excuse. I don't believe the conference committee is go, but we have that too. It's up to you, Senator.
I would request to be excused June the 12th through June the 15th, Mr. President.
Excuse me, without objection. Senator Ray,
Mr. President, earlier we had a question on the committee reports, and after the explanation was given today on the one, it was understood and it was unanimously approved by this body that the member could withdraw his signature from the report. I'd just like to call your attention to Mason's Manual, Section 674, Subsection 4. A member may not withdraw his signature from a committee report which he has regularly signed, since the signing of a report is the act of the committee itself and not the members with the consent of the committee. Now, I have no quarrel at all, Mr. President, with what has occurred today, but I do reserve the right to object to any member removing his name from a committee report, and unless it's a unanimous act, then I would sustain any other member who would object, because sometime in the future, there is a possibility, knowing that you have to have at least a majority of the committee sign a committee report, and in the waning days, if somebody wanted to thwart the will of the body or for his own particular reason, would withdraw his name from a committee report, then that committee report would not be, in essence, valid if you did not have a majority of the committee removing the bill from committee. So I'd just like to bring that to your attention, Mr. President, to the members of the body.
Mr. President, to talk on the same topic, I concur with Senator Ray's comments. In the instance before us, I think the question is rather one of, was the signature on the committee report mistaken? And it appears that it was not the intent to sign the report, rather to abstain from it, and the name was signed regardless. So the question becomes a little more complicated, and I think the intent of Senator Cueto was not to sign the committee report, but rather to explain his action, which is, I think, in the best tradition of the Senate. And perhaps Senator Ray and I can discuss that matter, because it raises an interesting point.
Yes, I do think that Senator Coletta would have been at least would have made the motion on the floor subsequently, and we have a unanimous consent opportunity there, and that's the reason I thought unanimous consent was appropriate on that particular item now. All right, is there an item under special orders?
Mr. President?
You have the floor, Senator Strickland.
Yes, I would move and ask unanimous consent that I be granted the privilege of the floor to speak to a handout that I made. Mr. President, about a little over a week ago, I was asked by one of the co-chair of finance to take a look at the various constitutional limits that were being proposed. Apparently, this is a priority of a number of the members as well as the executive branch. And there's a very basic question, and I guess perhaps drawn in that period of time with a lot of good hard staff work, possibly as many as 10 different proposals, and I do have one before you. There's a very basic issue here. There are those that really see the beauty and the simplicity of the Alaska Constitution. It sets forth a very basic framework, and then we implement by statute, obviously, up to the legislature with a majority vote in each house to change. And so we looked at some of those kinds of limitations, and there are those that really approve that approach. In the final analysis and the recommendation that was made to the Finance Committee, although obviously this is going to end up in free conference, was to realize that we have an extraordinary situation, that perhaps this called for a more specific amendment, that when we go to the voters, we go to them with something that tells what it's going to do, lays it out very clearly. It's going to meet an extraordinary situation by very specific language, somewhat like, I think there's one section under Section 2 of the Constitution in the prohibition area that is quite detailed. But what you see before you truly does set a control. I think the voters would know, although this may need some modification, they'd know exactly what restraints or constraints that have been set by this legislature. I think, again, to use the, and not to overuse the word extraordinary, I think if we continue with our present rate of growth of the budget, that without question, within a period of 5 years or less, all of our dollars will have to go to operating. There just will be no others. We've had extraordinary growth. There might be questions raised as to whether this is, quote, too low, too specific, too inflexible, that it needs modification on technical details. All of those things may be true in some degree. But again, the approach that was chosen was to truly set a limit, not to leave it one that is very open. I would value your taking a look at this, making some comments. I think it's going to have to go to pre-conference. Whether or not we'll be able to resolve it this session or not, I don't know. But it's obviously an important issue, and it's one that a number of people are going to feel strongly about. Certainly, my friend Senator Fisher, who obviously served on the Constitution, is probably sitting over here with a mild case of a heart attack at the details that are written into this. But as I say, it is a true limit that's being proposed, and so I just wanted to give you a little background of some of the things that I've been laboring through and attempting to bring a recommendation to this body. Thank you.
Senator Fisher.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent to have a privilege of the floor to comment on the same subject.
Yes, you have the floor.
Mr. President, first of all, I'd like to assure my good friend, Senator Arlister Jaluski, I'm not having a heart attack. My heart just is very... just holding my breath. But more importantly than that, although that'd be fairly important, is that I think that it's important in dealing with this issue, and I'm sure we'll have more to say about it, is to realize what it is that we're doing when we're talking about establishing a constitutional limit on spending, which I favor 100%. Essentially, what we want to do is to establish some rules, to establish the basic principle which the legislature and the governor want to establish, and many citizens, that will limit future legislatures, future governors and future legislatures, from going beyond what we might consider today reasonable limits. I question very much two premises. Number one, that everything has to be spelled out in a constitutional amendment. Number two is whether we need to deal with the issue this session. The first issue is really before us right now, and that's what Senator Sturgeluski was talking to. The proposal that was the proposal that was approved by the Senate Finance Committee is essentially legislation. The beauty of the Alaska State Constitution lies not in simplicity. Simplicity alone is nothing to strive for. The significance of Alaska's Constitution, like the National Constitution, is it was designed to exist over the years. It was designed to survive and to set forth basic principles of government, basic freedoms, basic restrictions on government. And it's the ability to survive for more than 2 years or 4 years, the ability to go for 10, 20, 40, 100 years if need be, that is the beauty, that is the significance of a constitution, of a good constitution. And what I'm asking at this point is that as we approach writing a constitutional spending limitation, that we think of this in terms not of the language that is pertinent today, speaking of federal consumer price indices, which didn't exist some decades ago and which might not exist 5 or 10 years from now. We may have something totally different, or other strictly temporary provisions that it's very fashionable to put in the Constitution today, but simply shouldn't be part of a lasting document. It seems to me, Mr. President, that there's no real reason, this is my second point, to rush pell-mell into enacting a resolution for a constitutional amendment this session. I realize the governor has asked us to do it, but if there are problems in backup, in implementing legislation, then it would make much more sense to wait for next year, because the people of Alaska are not going to be voting on this issue until 1982. Therefore, we can deal with this issue in the next session. We can then have a straightforward constitutional spending limitation, and I believe we should have a very, very strict one. And if we need backup legislation, we can pass it next year and not encumber a constitutional amendment and the Constitution itself. Thank you, Mr. President.
Any announcements?
Mr. President, the pre-conference on Senate Bill 524 will meet at 3 p.m. in the Senate Finance Chambers.
Mr. President, the free conference committee on Senate Bill 171 will meet at 1:30 in House Judiciary, presuming that the House is out of session.
Finance committee will meet tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, Finance Chamber. Consider House Bill 297, appropriating funds from the Department of Labor and Department of Commerce. Also, the pre-conference committee on the budget will meet this afternoon at 1:30 in the governor's conference room, assuming any interest is generated.
Chairman Fisher?
Mr. President, State Affairs Committee will not meet today at 1:30. However, we may be meeting any time almost over the next day or whenever an opportunity presents itself. The committee will meet as soon as we have a capital relocation measure that is acceptable to the various parties in the interest, including the governor. And at that time, we hope to move a bill on that will hopefully be enacted this session.
Mr. President, the various members have inquired about a weekend session with a number of pre-conference committees that will be meeting this weekend. There will be no Saturday or Sunday session. Those times are being reserved for the meeting of the pre-conference committees.
Expect them to meet tomorrow.
Mr. President, if there is no further business to come before this body, I would move and ask unanimous consent we stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.